It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen to KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
You can let me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
So I think the main theme here, guys, is we're going to need a bigger bowl.
Yeah.
Kind of like to paraphrase from Jaws, right?
To go down to get a five-gallon bucket out of my truck.
Right. District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould in the house. We had a call earlier before you appeared.
Oh, yeah?
We had a call here in the studio. I heard Ron Gould's on today. I can't find your station. And I wanted to ask if they had an antenna because it's kind of critical to finding an FM station.
That is true.
But anyway.
Yeah, a lot of times if it's a home stereo and they don't have an external
antenna,
it's hard to pick up.
Right. Welcome to Speak Out. It's Friday, November 12th, the hangover from Veterans Day, I guess, right? If you're going to call it anything, the something from Veterans Day, the day after Veterans Day. All right. It's November 12th, 2021. I'm Paul
Lavoie. I guess some might be hungover, but.
Maybe. I don't know. I couldn't think of a better word, so my bad. All right. Diane Klostermeyer's here as well from PACE, the Patriotic Americans for Constitutional Education. Diane's got a lot going on. You didn't even know when you walked in that you would be such a centerpiece, Ron, for what we're going to do today on the show as far as the drawing.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Do you like being the guy who draws the winning tickets?
No, because it's not so bad on this, but a lot of times it happens at clubs and events and whatnot, and you get, as a politician, you get the opportunity to make one person happy and the other 80 people angry.
Yeah, and it looks like there's about
eight. Disappointed, at least.
Looks like you're going to make about 800 people.
There's about 1,000 tickets in there.
Wow.
So.
All right, so 997 are going to be unhappy because
yeah.
We're drawing the top three. Perfect.
And I'm Travis Lingenfelter here.
Right. Diane, tell us what the ticket sales go for with this drawing today.
Okay, it's our annual
Patriotic Thanksgiving raffle.
It's a fundraiser so we can pay our teachers to do our PACE classes and also provide prizes for our youth. The tickets usually sell for $5 each or 3 for 10, and I go mostly to the businesses and sell my tickets. And not only that, but all these prizes on here, not all of them, but most of them are donated by our local merchants who are so patriotic. We are truly, truly blessed. And not only that, but this year, the businesses surprised me. They weren't buying $5 tickets. They were buying either 3 for 10 or 6 for 20, and some of them were buying $100 worth of tickets, which was 30.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's been amazing. I just am so honored to live in Lake Havasu City. And I also am honored to the fact that Supervisor Gould is going to be kind enough to do the drawings for us. This is a big surprise to him. He didn't know he was going to be the one. We were going to have Paul Lavoie possibly do it. But being that we're on your show, if you wouldn't mind, we'd be honored to have you do it.
No, I'm more than happy to do it.
Yeah, the most important guy in the
and
room
I don't have
to
any,
draw the ticket.
I don't have any tickets in there, so I
yeah,
won't be drawing
neither.
My own.
Exactly.
And I
have won a shotgun from the fundraiser. We used to have the casino night fundraisers for PACE.
Right.
And I won a shotgun one year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Way to go. You know what's really cool about this drawing, too, is the first, second, and third prizes could be split into three. There's three really good prizes for each place. Right?
Well, you they are, had, thanks to the generosity of our merchants,
right,
and people.
You could have had six drawings or six plates, right, for all these, because there's so much for first, second, and third. But go ahead and tell us what first prize is.
Oh, I thought you might do that. But for first, well, you were going to do third prize first.
Well, we're not drawing yet.
Okay. The first prize are two tickets to Grace Ann Arts, and she's got some wonderful shows going on right now. And it is still good even past these shows. But the one is the Christmas Carol, I believe, in December.
So as if two show tickets weren't enough.
We have Home Depot was kind enough to donate a Next Grill, which is a charcoal grill smoker. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but they surprised me by giving two bags of charcoal as well as charcoal lighter fluid. That's not even reflected in the price here. That grill itself was worth $149 value.
Then listen to what comes next. This is still first prize we're talking about.
You get the Butcher's Summer Bundle. That was the cost of it was donated by Pace members, and it includes a filet mignon, chicken breast, pork chops, hamburgers, Frank's, meatballs, and some steak fries, apple tartlets, and seasoning.
Diane leaves out the best part. It's from Omaha Steaks.
It's from Omaha Steaks. And they're delicious, I know, because we order them all the
time.
She
buried the headline.
Yeah, those are good steaks. Those are good steaks.
Right, right.
We get those, too.
And this shows what's all in the
package.
They're
quite the marketeers also, by the way.
And then, okay, I'll go through second place is the Word of God and Shaping of America, the American Patriots Bible. That's and then a Thanksgiving feast.
We had gift certificates donated by Smith's, by Albertsons, and Safeway. And what we've done is we've used part of the gift cards to fill a beautiful basket full of items for Thanksgiving. The rest of them, they will still have money left on each card to buy their turkey and the trimmings and salad and whatever else isn't in the basket. Plus, they're getting a Horn of Plenty, which has cheese, grapes, nuts, and bananas and things in it, and a cute little turkey.
Outstanding.
Wow. That's just second prize. Now, third place is you have Movies Havasu tickets, four, right?
Yes.
Four passes. Then you have a pretty Mud Shark shirt with a gift card. Say that fast three times. A pretty Mud Shark shirt.
That's good pizza.
And then a Thanksgiving booklet and decoration items.
Yes.
So do we want to do the drawing now? Or do you want to talk about well, you brought us a bunch of food. Every time Diane comes in, it's either fruit or a cake. Or some other form of carbs.
Jackpot.
Yes,
I took all the calories out of those, though.
Are those sugar-free over there?
Of course. If you believe that, I've got a bridge for sale, too, at 50th anniversary.
If you believe that we won't have any debt after the Biden stimulus package, right?
Oh, that's true.
It's paid for.
Yeah,
it's paid for.
If you believe that stimulus package is paid for. All right, let's do the drum roll, and Ron's going to go ahead and do the third place prize for the Thanksgiving fun package.
I've reached my hand into the bowl.
He's going in deep.
I'm feeling around.
All right.
Looking for the bottom, and I'm pulling a ticket.
He's got the
and
ticket.
And there it
in
is, and I'm giving it to Diane.
Well, we'll let you read it.
Let me read it.
Sure.
Okay. Jenna Mansell. Jenna Mansell, and there's a phone number on there. That's the third prize ticket.
Third place
the
prize.
Lucky ticket goes to Jenna Mansell. And I'm thinking she's probably from Lake Havasu City.
Yes,
that
as a matter
Mansell.
Of fact, they have supported Pace for a lot of time, for every year. For,
that's awesome.
Since we started, this is our 11th year.
Right.
They've supported us and donated, always bought $100 worth of tickets.
All right, Ron has the second one.
I pulled the second ticket.
In his hand as Diane writes the third prize on Jenna Mansell's ticket. Let me read that one. Let's see. It is Bill Powell. Bill Powell of Lake Havasu City with the second prize, and that is the Patriotic Thanksgiving Feast. You get the American Patriots Bible from the Word of God and Shaping of America, and the Thanksgiving Feast and the Horn of Plenty. Now here's the grand prize for the Patriotic Americans for Constitutional Education Thanksgiving Raffle.
And I found a ticket.
2021.
And I pulled the ticket.
This is the grand prize goes to. Oh, I get to read that one too. Chris Richard of Lake Havasu City is the grand prize winner. He gets, oh my goodness, 2 show tickets to Grace Arts Live, the Home Depot Next Grill, a $149 value. It's a 29-inch barrel charcoal grill and smoker, and the Omaha Steaks package. Wow.
But along with that grill, he's getting 2 bags of charcoal and charcoal lighter fluid. So he'll be all ready to grill everything.
Yeah.
Now, there's only one thing here. We thought the drawing might be later, and we had to make it a little bit earlier. So the steaks will be arriving on the 18th. So we'll be setting a time to deliver that to him at a future time. We will call all these winners and let them know and arrange a time to meet with them and provide them with their prizes.
Outstanding.
The 18th, just in time to provide relief for Thanksgiving leftovers, right?
There.
Perfect. Because everyone will be sick of leftovers.
No, it'll be before Thanksgiving.
But they could save them and have them, you know, instead of Thanksgiving leftovers. Diane, great job as always with Pace. Tell everybody who's not familiar around the county, maybe they're in Bullhead or Golden Valley or Kingman, what Pace is all about.
About 11 years ago, we felt that the students should learn about love of God and country and the Constitution based on the Founding Fathers' viewpoint. We hire teachers in the school district to teach it after school, pay them a stipend. At the end of they teach for 1 hour, one day a week for 11 weeks, and then they perform at the Performing Arts Center showing a little of what they've learned. They get trophies and certificates of achievement. And we're really fortunate. And Ron, we didn't mean to keep you this long from your program.
Oh, no problem. Glad to do it. This is probably one of the best programs that anybody's ever come up with.
Well, we really are blessed that we have been having such wonderful teachers for the program and so much support from the community.
So well, what schools do we have teachers in currently?
Currently not as many yet. They're going to let us know later. The classes actually start in January.
Okay.
Okay, so we have some teachers that have signed their contract already. We had a special teachers meeting. Not all of them could show up, and they have a new program they're putting out throughout the school district, which is teaching a program based on the Hillsdale program.
Interesting.
Oh, wonderful.
So it tends to be more conservative, so fortunately we're able to teach them the true history, which I was
ideally,
a little worried
about. Ideally, we would expect public education to teach them the true history.
Right.
Well,
and
not have to supplement it, since that is their job to create keepers of the Republic.
Right.
Well, Ron, there was a movement to teach 1619 history.
Sure.
Which basically taught the kids that America was not the best country. It taught them a false history of our nation. America's done more for the good of this whole United States, mm-hmm. For the whole world,
right.
I should say. That's what I meant to say. For the whole world than any other country. We've been the most generous country in giving the people things. Plus, we've also sacrificed many lives of our servicemen.
Right, right. It's been blood, not just treasure.
Right.
Well, Diane,
true. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the good work that you do in our community and with the youth of our community and teaching them those constitutional principles that we feel that they need to learn as well. We have a call coming in. I have a feeling somebody's going to thank you as well. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi.
Hi. Go
Actually,
ahead.
I always thank Diane, the first teacher that served in Pace.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm not...
We're
getting a bad connection.
Yeah, we're having problems with the phone line. Not sure why. Well, we're going to go to break anyway. So there you have it. And Diane, somebody out there obviously wanted to thank you for the good work that you do in the community. God bless you. Keep coming around because we like the food too. So she always brings gifts.
Karen Vanderjagt was one of our first teachers.
Oh, okay.
And
is that who that was?
Yeah, that was the caller.
That's who the caller was. And she did a phenomenal job. And she taught at the high school. We used to give scholarships at the high school, but we can't get enough students to sign up for the high school classes now, even though we had teachers volunteer for that.
Interesting.
So, well, they have so many programs at the high school right now, and clubs and things they belong to that I understand. But it was an honor, and Professor Cook used to ask the questions, and then they win trophies and awards
right.
as well.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us on our Friday show
with Supervisor
Gould.
Thank you for the time. Supervisor Gould, you know what? We want you to have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And God bless you, and thank you for letting us take part of your show.
That's a frosted cheesecake, by the way.
Wow.
Is that cheesecake or carrot cake?
It's cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
Yeah.
Frosted.
Thank you.
Janice is going to love that, too.
It's a pumpkin flavored cheesecake, I think.
Ooh. Is it? Wow, that looks good.
It should say it on the side.
How nice.
Yeah, it does.
Very
triple
nice.
Layer pumpkin cream cheesecake.
Well, Diane, God bless
you.
God bless you. Thanks for joining
us.
Thank
you for your time. And thanks Dee Lavoie for being kind enough to.
You mean Steve Greeley.
Steve Greeley.
Yeah. He's going to love that. I'm not sure he's going to let you on the air after that one.
Well,
no, I'm kidding.
I'm nervous.
You can go ahead and tell him thank you on the way out.
Thank you.
Thanks, Diane. Appreciate it. All right. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie along with District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gold. We're going to get into a few topics when we come back. So stay with us on Speak Out.
Everything I want to say to a woman, but I couldn't find the words to say. She got one of them idiots, I don't know what to do. Cause every time I try to tell her how I feel, it comes out, I love you. You got whatever it is.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Paul Lavoie along with District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gold. We've got a caller on the line. We'll be there in just a second, because Speak Out is brought to you by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, the Lewis Team, Coldwell Banker, with team leader Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Besley, and Lori Rule, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, the Better Business Bureau, and Kevin Barbarita and Barbarita Realty Consultants, with over 35 years in the Laughlin community. Located in the Laughlin Town Center, visit their website at LaughlinNevada.net. All right, we do have a phone call. Thank you so much for staying on the line through the break, caller, but you had a question for Supervisor Gould.
Yes, I have a question. I'm pretty upset. I'm just kind of shaking. Our Patriots had gone before the Board of Supervisors, and we did get something passed making us a sanctuary to the Constitution mm-hmm. in our county. It was kind of a watered-down version, but it was putting the Constitution first. And the very thing we were trying to prevent has happened. The employees of Lake Havasu Hospital and the Kingman Hospital are going to be forced to get the jab, and they don't have a choice by December 6th. And Bullhead, I called them, and they already went through this process. So our citizens are in a state of medical tyranny right now. They are forced to do it. And what I'm asking, Ron, is as a county, since we have this in place, that we're not going to let the Constitution be violated, what can be done? And, I mean, for us, let me just get this in. We're having a rally Sunday night from 5 to 7 at the hospital. We just put that together yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so anybody is upset about this, come on down to the flagpole at the hospital between 5 and 7 on Sunday. Okay, Ron, I need an answer.
What's the situation, Ron, after the court ruling and OSHA and all this confusion now that's been created by the Biden administration?
Arizona's not under OSHA.
What do you mean?
We don't answer to OSHA. We have our own Industrial Safety Commission. The Industrial Safety Commission said that we don't have to follow by OSHA's mandate.
So where does that put the caller with her company? Does that company know that they don't have to follow OSHA mandate?
That company wants to use that as a lever to force their employees to vaccinate. They don't have to follow that. They're choosing to follow that.
Okay, so that's a decision between the company and the employee. Is that
right.
Where we're at?
Right.
Okay.
The state is. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Colin.
Ron, are you willing to come on Sunday night and tell them that? Tell the employees they don't have because they're told they're going to be fired.
That's up to the company, though. Correct?
Yeah, they can probably fire them if they choose to. I'm more than happy to come and tell the people that are there that they're not under OSHA.
This tyranny shouldn't be going on in our county.
Yeah, it's also the college is doing the same thing too. The college is claiming that since they're calling themselves a federal contractor because they take federal money. So they're forcing their employees to vaccinate also.
Yes, but we're a county. We're not accountable to the federal mandate.
I know. We're not
against that.
I know. We're not the enforcers of it. And I'm more than happy to help anybody that gets fired over that. But it's not the government that's doing that. It's the devious way that the Biden administration has done it. They're giving political cover for employers that want to force their employees to vaccinate.
They tried it with the CDC first.
Yeah, CDC has no authority over the states.
Right.
So they're using this. They're using the corporations, the corporations to...
Corporatocracy?
Yeah, that was something similar to that.
Okay.
They're using the corporations to do it, to do their dirty work.
Well, as a county, I mean, can we get the sheriff involved? This is violating what's going on in our county. Am I right or wrong?
Well, they have it's between the employee and the employer. The legislature tried to pass a bill that would have outlawed this, but I forget if they couldn't get it out the door or whether that was one of the things that the court struck down when they ruled that they had commingled multiple subjects in a single bill. Because that was a ruling that came down 2 weeks ago, which lifted the ban on mask mandates at school. That was lifted by an action of a court.
Yes, and I understand that, but it has not been violated.
I don't know if the sheriff has any authority over it. It's a civil matter between the employee and the employer.
Taking away their civil rights, they're taking away their liberties. It seems like that is something that the sheriff should be involved in.
Okay, I think the one thing...
No, am I wrong?
I think
it's a civil, it's not criminal. The sheriff does criminal, not civil matters. Civil matters are taken care of by a court action. What these people should do is get together and hire an attorney to sue their employer for forcing them to vaccinate.
Or wrongful termination.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's something for a labor attorney, really.
I think the teachable moment here on the phone call is that there's something going on Sunday night.
Sure.
What time was that again?
And yes, it's going to be at the hospital from 5 to 7 by the flagpole. We're meeting, and hopefully we'll get some employees out there, and we need to let them know what their options is. We're going to have some religious exemption sample letters, and we want to inform them of their rights.
Interesting fact on religious exemptions. So there was a recording leaked out of a Biden administration meeting from a Department of Justice attorney, and he said that they have to recognize religious exemptions, and it's an individual religious held belief. So let's say you're a Catholic and the Pope has said you should get the jab. That doesn't mean that you as an individual Catholic can't object to it, since they used aborted baby parts in either the manufacture or the testing, depending on which vaccine. But all of these vaccines use the products of abortion in it.
Or the ones with the RNA technology.
All of them.
Oh, I didn't know that Johnson & Johnson
did. Yeah, they
too.
Used it in testing.
Oh, okay.
But they have to recognize that exemption. And either I'm a Southern Baptist, I think the president of the Southern Baptist Convention said that you should get the jab also, but that doesn't play. It's not a top down thing. He doesn't get to make that call for me.
Right.
I don't really care what he said.
Sure.
You know, I have my own feeling about it. And you used. Yeah, I'm not going to be a party to abortion.
Caller, I want to thank you for letting us know about the event.
Religious exemptions do work. My niece and up in Flagstaff was able, along with 100 or so people, were able to get religious exemption from the hospital they were working for. So that, I don't know, I guess that's our only right in the Constitution that we can hold on to. And then we have to beg for it.
And they don't necessarily have to be Christians. They could be, if they opposed abortion, it would be the same exemption. If they don't want to be party to abortion.
This example we have for them, this sample letter, it does exactly what you're saying, Ron. It's exactly. It's not trying to hang on to some something the Pope said or something their religious group says.
Sure.
It's having to do with personal conviction.
And that a Justice Department attorney said that they must recognize those, and it's because it's the free exercise of religion in the First Amendment of the Constitution.
All right.
Okay, great.
I
won't take up any more time.
Yeah.
I know there's other things to talk about, but I am very upset, and I hope you'll join us Sunday night and help these people understand what they can do to save their liberty.
Sure.
Okay.
I'll be there.
Again, that's
great. Thank
that's,
you.
5 to 7 p.m. at the hospital.
Hospital
right.
In Lake Havasu by the flagpole.
Right. Gotcha. All right, at Havasu Regional Medical Center on Sunday night, 5 o'clock. And, Ron, you going to be there?
Yeah.
More than likely?
Yep.
All right. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. Speaking of being immunized, we're going to talk about those child immunization, the order that came down from the administration and how the county, some of the supervisors don't want the appearance of them supporting those immunizations, and they want that reflected in a disclaimer on the press releases. It's a convoluted subject. We really need to get into it after the break.
Devil's in the details.
We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back. We've got some audio from the last board meeting, and then we'll get into it with one of our own here. It's District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. Stay with us. I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll be right back.
Touch of a precious child and oh, a mother's love. It's funny how it's the little things in life just as free as we'll ever be, just as free.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out, brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, Connect to Computer and Technology, Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, Herb's Herbs, and by Thane O'Brien with Spot On, which is now the preferred technology partner of the Arizona Restaurant Association. Made in Vietnam. Nice. Thanks, Ron. Call Thane. 928-706-2784 or send an email to T.O'Brien with an E at spoton.com. That does not mean Thane O'Brien was made in Vietnam, as a pencil Ron was showing me that was in a gift pack that we were just given. So I'm going to have you kind of lead into this soundbite from Hilde Angus. And I know you haven't seen the soundbite, but it's when she...
I was there in person, so...
You were there in person.
I got a good handle on it.
Kind of give us the preamble on this whole deal.
What's going on is Supervisor Lingenfelter asked the health department, what is it costing for us to put out this these reports every day on COVID, the COVID numbers, the hospital report, and all that stuff? And we found out it's $5,000 a week. So that's 20 wow. grand a month, you know, more than 20 grand a month. And so we're looking at that. And then the CDC also came out with a recommendation that we vaccinate 5 to 11-year-old children.
Right.
Well, we send...
It's just a recommendation, though. It's not a mandate, right?
No, there's no mandate
right.
yet. They'll mandate yet. It eventually.
Yeah.
I have faith that they will mandate it. But anyway, so the... It's you've got kind of a convoluted story. So we've got the expense of putting out the report. Whether that is actually valuable or not, we're trying to figure that out. And then you have another item is, should we just be pushing through CDC pressers, press releases? We're not the press agent for CDC. And anybody that has a computer to go and look at the county website, that same computer will reach the CDC in Washington. The internet goes there. So my feeling is there's really no reason. We're not their press secretary.
Right.
If they want to put pressers out, put pressers out. There's no real reason for us to move that presser through our system.
So let's play the next stage of that with Hildy's request to Supervisor
right.
Johnson.
Her concern also is that it gives the appearance of an endorsement by
right.
putting that CDC recommendation on our website.
Perfect setup. All right, let's go to the audio.
Chairman Johnson. Can I pipe in here? So earlier today, a member of the public came up here and sort of scolded us for the press release that went out recommending children get the vaccine. And personally, I agree. I think it's insanity, personally. So everyone's got to realize that this is coming from other sources than the Board of Supervisors.
Certainly.
So I did not see that press release, but I'd like to know if the board would approve putting some kind of disclaimer on these press releases and even on the website, something like the following information has not been endorsed nor recommended by the Mojave County Board of Supervisors, personally that I'd add, or anyone else with common sense. But we know that this is what's coming on. We know that you're part of the bigger Department of Health. But I'd like to ask the board if that's something that they would consider.
So this is something that's going to come up on Monday. This is actually on the agenda, correct?
Right.
Okay. So where are we with all this? We have the disclaimer is inevitable. What's going to happen?
No, they've got some watered down wording that they put together and put on the agenda.
Is that Roger's office then?
I don't know where it came from.
Collaboration of?
Yeah, I don't know where it came from.
Okay.
My choice would be to just not move CDC stuff through our website. If you want to, they should just put, if you want information from the, put a link to CDC website on our website. CDC's been wrong before. They've put up information and then realized that that actually, was counter to their actual public position, and they've taken that down, and I have screenshots of that, the people have sent me.
Okay.
I just don't want to, just regurgitate things that CDC says. If you want that same computer that you have that will reach the county's website will also go to Washington and reach CDC's website.
It
and you
should.
Can look at their stuff directly.
Right.
You probably get more information off that. I think what should be on our website is stuff that pertains to our county specifically, not globally. It should be what's going on in Mojave County. The disclaimer, I guess, is better than nothing, but I think generally disclaimers, no one reads disclaimers anyway. I oppose the vaccination of children because the risk is so low for children. The vaccine does not keep other people from keep you from spreading the virus. It only protects the person that got the shot to keep him out of the hospital. Kids aren't going to the hospital anyway. Pfizer did on their child study, it was statistically insignificant, the difference between a vaccinated child and an unvaccinated child, whether that child got the virus.
Right.
So, It's all risk and very little reward. And everybody has to make that risk-reward calculation for themselves, and parents need to make that for their child. That opinion is shared by Dr. Ben Carson, who, other than being, before he was a politician, was a neurosurgeon and was actually one of the world's leading neurosurgeons, and he agrees that there's things that might happen to children from the vaccine that are not that important in adults because adults are older.
Well, here's another problem with this. Loudoun County, Virginia. Well, we all know where that is now.
Right.
The Virginia Department of Health confirmed on Friday, November 5th, that Ted Pharmacy in Loudoun County incorrectly administered the COVID-19 vaccine formulated for those 12 years and older to children 5 to 11. So they gave them the teen and adult vaccine to the younger kids.
Right, and see, that's the problem.
Exactly.
Human error is in play. Anytime you have humans, you're going to have error.
Do you know how many kids were impacted there?
I have no idea.
112.
Really?
There's going to be a problem with at least one, I would think.
It's
or a severe reaction.
Hopefully there won't be.
Right, right.
But, yeah, so apparently it's a less potent vaccine that they're using in children, maybe. Who knows?
But it was the Pfizer vaccine. And yeah, it was the teen or the adult version. I believe that might be the same thing. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't play a doctor on the radio, as Hannity says, right?
Yeah, the other, you have to watch the, I would imagine it's tougher to vaccinate children correctly than adults because of the physical size.
Right.
And if you get it in a vein, it creates problems.
And the difference
you have you've already had issues with them with enlarged heart and inflammation of the heart in younger males especially. But that I just don't want to put the county seal of approval on this. If you want to look at CDC information, go to the CDC. The press picks up CDC information anyway. So I've got a couple of emails claiming that I'm squelching freedom of speech, which is ridiculous because it's generally from left-leaning people.
I do not envy you.
It's not the right that is stomping on freedom of speech. It's the left that stomps on freedom of speech. And it's kind of, if you go back to the debate over the Bible and there are the Ten Commandments in public school, the Supreme Court ruled that if you were to read the Ten Commandments, you might meditate upon them and you might act upon them. And that was why you can't have the Ten Commandments in school. It's kind of become that way with conservative thought and conservative points of view, is the left is afraid that if you were to hear a conservative point of view, you might meditate upon it, you might act upon it. You know, so it's not the right, it's not the right that's shutting down freedom of speech. It's the left that wants to stomp on conservative speech.
All right, so we're through that topic now. There's another, you say it should have Mojave County information on the Mojave County website.
Sure.
The ADHS came up this week, the topic of COVID deaths. We had, the ADHS on the state website said 999 COVID deaths, which ranked us fourth in the state county-wise, right? Behind Maricopa, Pima, and I don't remember the other one. Maybe Pinal?
Probably.
Yeah. So it had 999 deaths.
I think we're either the fourth or the fifth largest county in the state. But anyway, so that's where we usually score.
But Mojave County's death count was 110 or 120 cases lower.
Okay.
So we weren't even at 900, you know, as tallied by the county. What's the deal there? Why is there a difference?
There's always been a difference between the two, and part of it's when they get recorded. And the other thing is if somebody gets transported out of the county and goes to another hospital, they end up in Vegas, they end up in Phoenix. A lot of times those don't get scored back to your county. I'm not sure if that's what's going on this, but we've had that happen before. There's always been a variance between what the county's numbers and the state's numbers.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And a lot of times they don't report directly to us either. The hospitals report to the Department of Health, State Department of Health.
It just seems like they would all want to be on the same page.
Yeah, no, yeah. You would think so.
Right. Right.
So I don't know what's going on. I'm sure that in our briefing that she'll tell us what's going on there.
Right, right.
There's so many cases now that they don't, you know, there's so many people that come down positive and they either don't get reported or they're not, the contact tracing's not getting done because it's just so many people, and it's moved to where, you know, it's moved through the population so much, and it's not, people aren't as afraid. Some people are, but majority of people are not as afraid as they were a year ago in the spring.
So Buster and I talked about this the last time he was on, but there's just embarrassing conduct by certain members of the community in the county that go to call to the public and they vent their frustrations to the board, which the board can't respond during call to the public anyway.
Right.
But calling people names and the R word, it's just, it's embarrassing when you watch it as a resident of this county that people outside of Mojave County are watching this going, really? That's how they act there? Well, what's your take on all this, Ron? If you could respond, what would you, if you were chairman of the board, what would you do? Is there any way you can move call to the public, do away with call to the public?
Well, we don't have to even have call to the public.
Exactly.
We're not required to have it. There's rules that we have to follow if we choose to have call to the public. The problem is I think that people should have the opportunity to come and speak to us. And call to the public is only things that are not on the agenda. If it's an agenda item, you can speak to it during that. People behave badly. That's just, our society is now coarse, and that's how people behave. I would rather have people come up and call me a rotten four-letter word.
SOB, yeah.
Than to quell their freedom of speech. I don't care. You can come up and call me a jackass or whatever you want to call me. That's fine.
But they're not calling
because I signed up for the job
or other board members' names so much as it is county staff.
Yeah, and a lot of this is over the COVID thing, the COVID stuff, because they don't agree with that. And I think the people that speak that way do themselves a disservice because you're not taken seriously. You know, if you're coming unglued, I'm wondering to myself how well have you reasoned out what you're here to tell me.
Right.
So I think they do themselves a disservice when they do that.
People
get heated from time.
I agree with you.
People get heated, and I understand that. I've gotten heated myself before, you know, in debates and whatnot. And I think it reflects poorly on the people that behave that way, but I'm not going to shut down their freedom to do that because they have freedom of speech in the United States, and that's political speech clearly there. It's, you know, they're not yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Is there, like, at the Bullhead Council, for example, there's a 3-minute time limit for individuals, a 5-minute time limit for groups at call to the public. Is there such a mechanism in place at the county?
Yeah, it's a 3-minute limit.
Okay, a 3-minute limit. And the board is not allowed or anyone to, converse during call to the public, right?
You can, if they actually
defame. Or does the board set that rule?
Yeah, that's a rule. If they defame your character, you can actually rebut that. Generally, if somebody's up there defaming your character, it's not worth getting into a debate over.
Right.
You know, because people say whatever people feel. But that's a 3-minute limit. The best thing, and the attorneys told us this is the best thing to do, is just give them their 3 minutes.
Okay.
You know, and we didn't have call to the public in the legislature, but you came down and talked on items. So it's a little more formal process. When I was a city councilman in Havasu, we had called to the public, and I don't remember people behaving badly like we're seeing now, but we've had a coarsening of society, really.
Really have, especially with social media.
Right.
And keyboard warriors, as we call them.
It kind of all started with answer machines. Because, you know, being in business, you get the nastiest message left on your answer machine that someone would never say to your face.
That's a good point.
You know, I think it's just the anonymity. But we make them say their name and their address, and their pictures there of them, their lips moving, saying the words, so there's less anonymity there. And a lot of times people address us with stuff that we have no control over. We don't have any control over fire districts. So we've got one gentleman that he must have been there 100 times complaining about a particular fire district. The only time we step in is when a fire district loses quorum, if they have enough guys that quit or they go broke and have to borrow money, then we step in. But we're not the police or the policing agent for fire districts, and the county doesn't run everything in the county. You know, there's taxing authorities, right, school districts, cities that we have no authority over.
So here's something that's totally non-controversial. Veterans Day. How was your Veterans Day? What do you want to say to veterans out there?
I just want to thank them for their service to the country and their ongoing service through their service clubs and whatnot. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for veterans that were willing to go to war and defend our lives.
Right.
You know, that there's a saying about that we have freedom because we have rough men that are willing to go out and do violence on our behalf. We can sleep peacefully in our beds.
Is that it?
Because we have rough men that are willing to go out and do violence on our behalf to keep us free. And I want to thank them all for that.
Nicely done. I don't know where you recalled that quote from. But
it's
that
a Trent Frank quote.
That was well done. It was?
I don't know where he got it.
Wow. All right. Well, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
And, happy Veterans Day. Belated.
Thank you.
All
I'm
right.
Not a veteran, but
neither am I.
I'll take it.
I would thank you for your service.
Pass it along.
I'll thank you for your service to the county. How's
that?
There
you go.
And the state.
Yeah.
All right. So, of course, former state senator and now District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould has been our guest. We'll take a short break and come back with more in just a moment on Speak Out. Stay with us.
The 4 days flew by like a drunk Friday night as summer drew to an end. Adios and bye, Alconia. A long way from TA.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Don't forget, tonight at 7 on the AM, 980 AM and KNTRSports.com, the season finale for the Havasu Fighting Knights. They're hosting the Yunker Rough Riders at Lee Barnes Stadium here in Lake Havasu City. At 6 o'clock, the Suns and Grizzlies will tip off. That'll be on the FM, but you'll hear the Knights and Rough Riders on the AM and at KNTRSports.com only. Tonight on KNTR Sports, 980 AM, 100.5 and 94.3. Welcome to the team. And tomorrow we'll have Michigan at Penn State at 9:30 and ASU Sun Devils at Washington, taking on the Huskies at 5 p.m. tomorrow. Again, that's all on the sports station, KNTR Sports. All right, on Monday's show, we've got Police Chief Dan Doyle and Lake Havasu City Fire Department Chief Pete Palafis. They'll be on the show. It's our first Responders Day, so that's always fun. We'll have a great time on Monday. Join us then. Have a great weekend, a safe weekend. It's supposed to be great weather out there, so take it safe. I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. Dennis Prager, up next. So stay with us all day long on 106.3, the voice of the free.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.